Well, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. I'm going to open our lesson today with this great scripture. John chapter 3, and let's read verses 16, 17, and 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I like to read this particular scripture verse in Psalm 119, 130, and the King James says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And there's a few other, you know, that sometimes the King James says it in a way that you can read right by it. It's more specific in the Young's Literal Translation. That's a translation of the Bible. It says, "The opening of thy words enlighteneth." The Holman Christian Standard says, "The revelation," that's more specific, isn't it? "The revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced." It's the unfolding and revealing of God's Word that brings light and revelation. Now, one of the things, I was sharing this as I started, one of the things the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of these messages is that He shared everything that is done, whatever we do, this is what He said, whatever we do, it must be done in faith. Everything that we do must be done in faith. That's the bottom line. For without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please Him, to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible. There's no way around it. You can't please God without faith. You couldn't come to God. You couldn't come to Him through Jesus without what? Faith. You had to believe in Him. So faith is foundational, and it's foundational in this area of prosperity. It's key. And some of the translations, you know, we know in Hebrews 11:1 it says, "Now faith is the what? The substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." That particular word, or let me read it in another translation, it says it's the confident assurance. Faith is a confident assurance. And it also says, and this is in the Berkeley translation, it says, "Faith forms a solid ground." I like that. Faith forms a solid ground. When you're on a solid ground, there's no fear, there's no turning to the right or to the left. You're on solid ground. And as it says in Matthew, you know, the winds could come and things could beat against your house and beat against you, but if your house is built on a solid rock, built on faith, those winds could blow, but you won't fall. It says the house will not fall. So when your house is built on the Word of God and it's in faith, you're going to stand in the times of trouble. Whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's physical, whatever it is, you're going to stand. Because you what? You know your God. And you have faith in your God. He's your what? He's your source. Now, today, I've entitled this Supernatural Provision. And before we just jump right in there, let's turn over to 3 John 2. I've been reading this particular scripture throughout these lessons. And very familiar scripture verse says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So we can see here that God is revealing His will by what? By the Holy Spirit through John, that prosperity is the will of God. And Jesus prospered during His ministry. And the scripture says that it was God in Christ. So anything that Jesus did, we know it was God's will, don't we? If Jesus did it, then it was God's will. It was God in Christ reconciling the world. Now, one thing, let's turn over this morning. I'm going to spend a few minutes in this particular passage of Scripture. Let's go over to John, Gospel of John, chapter 6 this morning. And I want to look at the first 14 verses this morning. And you'll see in this account here, you're going to see provision in here. You're going to see supernatural provision. Starting in verse 1, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias." That's a wonderful trip, if you've never been on it, going on the Sea of Galilee. "And a great multitude did what?" Did what? Ah. "Because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased." Now I'm going to stop here. The first thing in this equation that you're going to see is that they did what?
Followed Him.
Ah. They followed Him. So you're going to see here in this story about supernatural provision that they left and they did what? They followed Him. They didn't have any food. They just got up and they did what? They followed Him. Did they follow Him for the food? No. They followed Him for what He had. He was doing what? He said here, because they saw the miracles. Man, I'll tell you, when you're hungry for Jesus, when you're hungry, you'll get up and follow Him. When there's a hunger down here in your heart, I know I did. I left, I stopped doing what I just said, I gotta have that. I gotta have that. I want that. And you forget about it. You kind of say, they say, you just lose all natural sense of yourself. I'm going after that. I'm going after Him. That's following Him. It's not about money. It's not about things. I'm following after Him. Amen. And it said here, "And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company come unto Him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do." Now, isn't this a great, I love this. This is a great story here. This is supernatural provision. Now look at this. Look at verse 7. Philip now answers. What does Philip say? He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. He's saying, even if we had enough money, it wouldn't be enough to feed these folks. That's what he's saying here. You know, the King James is a little stilted, but that's what he's saying. He's saying 200 penny worth. If we had enough money to buy enough bread, it still wouldn't be enough. In some translations, it'll say a year's wages wouldn't be enough. Some others say some other things. That every one of them may take a little. So he's saying even in the natural, it's not enough. Is it? That's what he's saying. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Even that's not enough. The money's not enough. Even this little quantity of fish and bread, it ain't enough. But they followed Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope you're seeing this.
Yes.
We'll start to. And then what did Jesus say? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. So he didn't even answer their response. He didn't even answer it. He said, make them sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down. Who? The men in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to who? The disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Verse 14, Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. One of the things you see here is that when you follow him, he will meet your need supernaturally. When you follow him, what do I mean by that? When you follow and say, Lord, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And he says, go over here. And you go, how can I go over here? It is not enough. He said he will. This story here tells me, if this is God's will and he's showing us an example of what Jesus did, he's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for this group, he'll do it for each and every single one of us. When we follow him, he will meet your need supernaturally. If you believe him. If you believe him. And I'll tell you, when you follow him and you trust him and you look to him, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. It doesn't matter what's going on in the government. Who am I following is the key. See, we said this before in Hoosier Source, when I know I'm following him, see, he is going to supply. He is going to work in my life, open the doors supernaturally, provide for my needs supernaturally. Some of you think so. Let's go over for a moment to Mark 10. You can keep your finger there, but let's go over to Mark 10. And let's look at verse 17, Mark 10. And let's start at verse 17. Mark 10, starting in verse 17, it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.'" That's why he was prosperous. You ever think about that? He observed the law, and that's why he was prosperous. We have a better covenant. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and saith unto him, 'One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross follow me. Follow me.'" And he was what? Sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And of course, let me just continue reading here. "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven?'" And let me read down further. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' And Jesus, looking unto them, saith, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.' Then Peter began to say unto him, 'Lo, we have left all and followed thee.' And Jesus answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you,'" listen to this, "'there is maybe one man.'" What does it say? "There is no man." No man. Say no man. "No man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he maybe shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Many that are first shall be last, and last first." The key in this is follow him. When you do, those things will be what? Added to you. You don't have to seek. Let me ask a question. When those people, that great company, went up and followed him, were they thinking about food? He did what? He added to them. See, we don't have to think about, where am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? You follow his leading on where you're supposed to be. In that place is the place of your provision. When they went to the mountain, that was their place of provision. They followed him there. They had a need. And he did what? He met the need. Because they did what? They followed him. What do I mean? I mean, you get quiet and say, "Lord, where am I supposed to work? Where am I supposed to go to church? where am I supposed to do this? You follow the inward witness. You follow His leading where you're supposed to go. You follow Him. And where you go, your provisions will be met. See, some of us are trying to follow after things. See, and we've let the world's idea of getting stuff. See, there's not anything wrong with having things, but I read in my Bible here, He said, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. That means your provision and your need will be met. Has to be. Otherwise, the word wouldn't be true. And it is true. It's forever settled in heaven. Now, you know, some folks will say, well, you know, I'm having some afflictions. Okay. This said here, there's persecutions, didn't it? With persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. There's another scripture that talks in Psalm 34. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God might deliver them out. No, it says, but the Lord will do what? Delivereth them out of some of them. It says, out of them all. I'm delivered. I might be going through, but I'm not staying. I'm delivered. Key is following Him. That's the key. We need to follow Him in our life. And when we do, it doesn't mean that we're not going to walk through some things. It doesn't mean the devil's not going to try to steal things. That's what the Bible said. He's come to do what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. But God will deliver me out of all. He's going to deliver me out of all of them. And He will meet my need and provide. Another thing that you can see in this particular story here, let's go back to John 6. John chapter 6. Let's look at this story again. And of course, you know, we also know Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and His righteousness and what? All these things will be what? Added. So there's a number of scriptures that we can look at. The key is putting Him first. Putting Him first in your life. Now, here's a thought. When you follow Him, you have to leave something to follow, don't you? You got to leave something. If I start to follow Him, that means I just left what I was doing and I started following Him. It's a new way of life, a new way of thinking, a new attitude. I'm leaving a place to go somewhere else, aren't I? So I'm not staying where I was. If I'm following, I have to leave, don't I? Here's another thought. When you leave, sometimes leaving is leaving an old way of thinking. Not just leaving a place, you're leaving a way of thinking. I don't think the same way. So I left that thinking back here. I don't think that way anymore. How? I got my mind renewed to the Word of God. So I'm not thinking the same. I left that old way of thinking and I start thinking different. So when I follow, I left something to go to some new place, didn't I? Hallelujah. So you can see here in this story here that there's supernatural provision in following Him. That's the first key here. But also you can see here that when you follow Him, there's also here, when you look in verse 9, it says, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. There's no recollection, there's no indication, I should say, in this account that this boy was hesitant to give his fish, did he? There was no hesitation to say, I'll give you one of these and one of these because we're hungry. We got to eat. I'll share it. He doesn't say that. He gave it all. And if you notice, he was one of the one in the great company that went to do what? Follow him. So he gave without reservation. He gave without reservation. And the master, somebody asked him, this is for the master. It's like us when God says, leave and go over here. Give this. I don't know if I can do that. Why the reservation? See, if you are sure it was him, why you reserved? Now, I'm not talking about giving recklessly or foolishly. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you knew it was God. Why you reserved? See, this young boy here in this story, he gave it all. But look what he got in return. Now, again, this account doesn't say, but Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given unto you, good men, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. This account here is after they had all been fed. You know, when you think about this, just think about this. Anybody been in church? Anybody been in, well, let's say, anybody been in church where they fed people? You all been there? How much food and effort do you need to maybe feed a couple hundred people? That's a lot, right? Costs a little bit, and it's a lot of work, right? Try 5,000. Your mind, even in today's standard, your mind would go, excuse me? Let me think about that. I'm talking 5,000, and that was just the men. We don't know how many might have been there. Men, women, and children. Could have been triple that. We don't know. I'll tell you. I heard a story, a young man that worked here in this ministry, and he supernaturally now he owns his own ministry, own business, in Texas at Christ for the Nations. But he told me when he was last here, he said that he supports a number of missionaries and missionary groups. And he said there was a story that came back, and I don't remember the country. I don't remember if it was Uganda. It might have been Uganda. I don't remember. But he said the government did not have enough money to feed the people. They said, send them over there to that church, that place that's feeding the people. This is true. He said, this story came back. They sent 50,000 and they were feeding thousands already. They had pots of soup and food. the food didn't run out. They kept dipping, 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 they kept feeding, they kept feeding, they kept feeding, they kept feeding, they kept feeding. Supernatural provision. See, but you've got to do what? Prepare. See, that's one of the things here. The next thing you'll see in this story is Jesus didn't respond to them and said, hey, we don't have enough money and we don't have enough. What's this five fish and little bar? What is this going to do? No, it's not enough. He didn't answer them. What did he do? He gave them some instructions and said what? Sit the men down. He said, make the men sit down. Listen to this. Now there was much grass, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. What did he do? He made them prepare for the miracle. He made them prepare. He didn't say, oh my God, you're right. What are we going to do? He said, I'm about ready to perform a miracle. Prepare for it. He gave them some instructions to prepare for the provision. Did he not? And what did they do? They obeyed. They followed his instruction. And Jesus did what? Once they all sat down and were ready, then, and only then did Jesus then take the loaves. He did what? He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks. He broke it. But who did he give it to? He gave it to the disciples and they handed it out. So you can see in that story that without them preparing, see, I'm going to say it this way. It is necessary for us to be involved in the process of miracles. You can see here in this story, it said here that They were involved in this process, were they not? Yes. Think about this. Were you involved? A simple example. Were you involved in the process of supernaturally being changed into a new creature? You had to do something. You had to come to Him in faith. You had to be prepared to receive, weren't you? And then God moved. It's the same here. When there's supernatural provision, you've got to prepare for it. You got to believe that He will. You've got to believe and follow Him, but you've also got to prepare. Some of us aren't preparing for the miracle. We're talking about it. Some of us say, yeah, bless God. God's going to do this. What are you doing? God's going to bless me and pay off all my bills. Well, how much do you owe? I don't know. How much do you need? How much are your bills? Some of us aren't prepared in being organized and knowing what it is that we need. So you're not prepared. If He gave it to you, what would you do with it? You wouldn't even know. Isn't it true? God will work through people who prepare, get ready, because when it comes, then they know what they're going to do with it. They've asked God, and here's the thing. We're going to read some other scriptures in that regard. So you can see here, you've got to, what I was saying here, you've got to follow Him. And the key is, here's another key. You might be believing the Word of God. You might be confessing the Word of God. But are you where you're supposed to be? See, because if you're not following Him, there's a good chance supernatural provision won't work in your life, or it won't work to the degree that it should. See, you're just confessing the word. You believe in God, but you're not following him. So you're out of place. You're not in the place that you should be. Is that not true? Could be. Didn't say it was, but could be. Let's take a look over here in 2 Chronicles. Let's go over here for a second. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And this is a story about King Uzziah. And I want to focus here on verse, well, we'll start from verse 1. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, starting in verse 1. And it said, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did." Now look at verse 5. "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." As long as he sought the Lord, God did what? So he followed him, and he made him to prosper. But you read the rest of the story, it talks about how he had a mighty army, talked about all that he had, all the conquests that he did. And when you get down to verse 16 and even 15, it says his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. In other words, his name was spread abroad for all the things that he did. But look what happened. Verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Whoops. Whoops. He wasn't anointed to do that. And what happened? He walked in and he was followed by 80 priests and said, "You better get out of here. You've transgressed." And he ended up with leprosy and died a leper because his heart was lifted up. But as long as he followed the Lord, God made him to prosper. He had to follow him. Go over to, you're there in 2 Chronicles, back up to chapter 1 in 2 Chronicles. I'm just hooking up. I jumped ahead a little bit, but just adding this into following the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And this is a story about Solomon. He said, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people? that is so great. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, and honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. So what did he do? He followed the Lord. That's my point here. He followed him. He put him first. Now, forgive me, I jumped back. Let me go back and connect again what I was saying about preparing for the miracle. I forgot to add those two. But you can see here about preparing. Let's go back to John 6 again. Sorry for jumping out of context here. Go back to John 6. And Jesus had them sit down. And he had them do what? Prepare. One of the things that is true, I'll say it that way. How many have planted seeds, whether as a farmer or in a garden? How many have done that before in their life? You plant a seed, right? Let me ask this question. After you planted the seed, did you ever talk about the seed after that? What'd you talk about? You talked about what was going to come up, didn't you? You never really talked about the seed, did you? You talked about the harvest. And too often, we talk about the seed rather than the harvest. Sometimes we talk about the seed too much because faith expects something to produce. If I put something in the ground, the farmer expects that to grow. He's not talking about the seed anymore. He's talking about the harvest. And so when I plant seed in faith, I talk about what I expect. I talk about what I expect it to produce. Do I not? So that's one thing that some will stumble on. So we need to get prepared for the miracles. Prepared for the miracle. Now, let me ask a question. God operates, or miracles are produced with the help, I'll say it that way, with the help of who? The body of Christ here in this earth. Is that not true? You can see it in this story here in John 6. He worked after he blessed it. Who were the ones that distributed? Let me ask this question. Sometimes I think we think Jesus prayed and boom, there was all this fish for 5,000 people. How many think like that? Or how many have thought maybe that's what happened? No. I think what he did was he blessed it, he handed it to them, they broke it off, handed it, and it never diminished. There was always a supply to meet the need. See, when you follow the Lord, when you do at his direction, whether it's feeding somebody, whether it's, I don't know what it is that he may lead you to do, there will always be a supernatural supply where you will never run out. See, we need to change how we think. See, when God directs us to do something, we have His direction at it. He's doing what? He's meeting someone's need through who? Us. Then that means my need is met supernaturally. There's provision when I follow Him. I know for me that once you begin to follow Him, well, let me say it another way. Until you start to follow Him, supernatural provision in your life never really works to the best it should. I know for me, does that mean you're always going to have excess and how should I say this? Does it mean you're going to be living in the lap of luxury? Not necessarily. But when you follow Him, every one of your needs will be met. Every need will be met. I know for me, when I began to follow Him and the plan for my life, and I came here in 1985 and started working in the ministry, every need was met. I had to use my faith. I had to live by faith. I had to manage things with what I had, but I had to believe Him when I needed to believe Him for more. Does it mean I shouldn't set things? And this is kind of a segue to the next thing. Does it mean I shouldn't have a vision for something? Not at all. I should have a vision. Turn over a second to Habakkuk. Turn over to Habakkuk chapter 2. When it comes to miracles, faith is involved. Faith is involved in the working of miracles. Can't get away from it. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. In other words, make it plain so when they're running they can read it. For the vision is yet, and you're familiar with this scripture verse, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. But I wanted to focus on verse 2. What does it say? Write the vision. Write the vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to get into the habit of writing down the visions, the ideas and concepts that God gives us. Write them down. Keep them before you. This is part of also this process of prosperity. First, it's following Him. But even in following Him, whose vision are you really following? It's His. So you need to write it down. You write down the vision. Let me ask this question. What is your vision? I'll answer it. Your vision is your future. Your vision is your future. So you need to write it down. What are the things that God has spoken to you? Write it down. Keep it before you. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about, what you meditate on, is what you're going to do. Those things that you see, what you envision, anybody who's a visionary is going to go in the direction of what they see. And so we need to write down the vision. And we need to start writing down those things that God has given us. Turn over to Psalm 37 for a moment. You know, what you think about, what you see is where you're going to go. I'll say it another way. You can't go where you've never seen yourself be. You won't go there. You won't go where you haven't seen yourself be. So you need to see it, write it, put it down, jot it down, keep that before you. Psalm 37. And think about what, and I'll read this in a second, but think about what the first statement that I made at the beginning of this lesson was. Faith is key in everything that we do. Faith is an act. Faith is an action. It's not just knowing it, but when you believe, you act. So even the process of writing down what you see is an action. Even the writing down of the vision is an action. That's faith. Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. You could say, follow the Lord. Following Him. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So part of the desires of one's heart is these things, the visions that God gives one, in the desires and things in one's heart, those things come from who? God. See, so even when you read, I think sometimes folks may take that out of context. It says delight. It doesn't say delight thyself also in the Lord and He'll give you He'll make whatever is the desire of your heart come to pass. It doesn't say that. See, we need to ask Him what He wants. He'll put the desire in the heart. And then that desire is what should come out and we should follow. Because there's also scripture in James, it says, James chapter 4:3, it says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. See, so we can ask amiss and we think it's a desire. Ask Him, what is His desire for me? He will place those desires in your heart. And out of that, when you delight in Him, those are the desires that He'll place in your heart. See, the coming to pass part, look in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way. What way? The desires that He placed in your heart. Commit that way unto the Lord. See? Trust also in Him and He'll bring it to pass. See? So, one thing I would recommend, first you follow Him. You follow Him in your giving. You give unreservedly. Why? Because, not recklessly, but just like this story here of the young boy. He gave the fish and the loaves. At the master's request, or the disciples. And what happened? They also did what? They prepared for the miracle. But also here, I'm just adding this in, that's not part of this story. We need to write down those things that the Lord gives us and keeps it in front of us. Write the vision. We're doing it here. We write them down. And as God gives it to us, we keep it in front of us. We thank Him for it. We follow those things. See, you'll never go to that place that you've never seen yourself in. You won't go there. You've got to see it. Why? God will show it to you. He'll reveal it. He'll put it in your heart. And so this is something that I would encourage you to do. Take the time out, ask the Lord, pray about it. If He's already given you things, write them down. Begin to write those things down. Give God something to work with. And commit that to Him. And He said He'll do what? He'll bring it to pass, whatever that is. You know, some of us are waiting for God to do all the work. It doesn't work that way. He needs your cooperation. I'll say it another way. You could be believing for whatever it is. I don't know whatever it may be, you know. You may be in a job and maybe believing for another type of job. But I can tell you this, God will work in your behalf when you do something. You do what? You prepare yourself. I mean, how many have been on jobs where you just independently started studying something to go to that next place? You started reading up. You started taking on additional responsibility. You just started, or somebody came into your life to help you in a particular area. Is that not true? Every single one of us. So you did what? You did something. And you were either knowingly or unknowingly being prepared so God could supernaturally bring you to this place of supernatural provision. But you had to do something. You couldn't just sit back and go, praise the Lord, God's gonna bless me. No, He's not. No, He's not. You have got to do something. And that's how God works. He works through people. He works through what we do, what? By faith. It's amazing to me sometimes when you see people from other countries come here with nothing. Zero. And come here and do what? Work. They get a job doing something, cleaning toilets, sweeping a broom, and they pool their money, and what do? They have a vision of owning something, and they begin to move in that what? That direction. And a lot of them buy and own establishments, don't they? But they just didn't sit back and go, praise the Lord, God is going to bless me. No, he's not. You're going to be broke, tired, and frustrated. You got to do something. You got to get up off your backside and do something. That doesn't mean we're helping God, but he's working through us when we move towards something, a vision. I remember, I'll close with this. There was a young lady here. She came here and was here for a while. She went to a Bible school a few years ago, and she was from Haiti. Lovely young lady from Haiti. She came, she had no papers, and the owner was paying her under the table, cash. And she got saved, and the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, that's not right. You can't do that anymore. So she went to the owner, and she said, well, if I don't do that, then how am I going to, I don't have a green card, I don't have, how am I going to live? How am I going to, you know, I want to go to college. I want to do all of these things. She had a vision. She had a desire. But she said, I'm going to do what's right. So she went to the owner and said, look, I can't get paid this way anymore. I have to do what's right. You know what his owner did? He was Jewish. He said, okay, whatever you need. He paid her rent, he paid for her school, and he helped her get her green card. See, that's what I'm talking about. When you position yourself to do what's right and you follow God, God will supernaturally provide. See? And so once she did all those things, she went and went to school for a couple of years and then left and said God was working on her heart, dealing with her to go to Bible college. And she did. And so, that's what I'm talking about. Follow him. Follow his leading. Don't be reserved. And plan, prepare for the miracle. And write down the vision. Write it down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God is a good God. And God in these last days is going to work through us supernaturally with supernatural provision in ways he's going to open doors and do things that is just going to the natural mind, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word today. Let us take it to our heart, receive it, act upon it. And Father, when we do, we thank you that supernatural power will work on our behalf from heaven. And we thank you that you get all of the glory and all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.